even before even time began, my life was in His hands. And He knows my name, and He knows my every thought, and He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. And I have a Father, He calls me His own, and He'll never leave me, no matter where I go, 'cause He knows my name, my name, and He knows my every thought, and He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call.
If you know it, sing it with me. He knows my name.
Name.
He knows my every thought.
He knows my every thought.
He sees each tear that falls.
He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. And He hears me when I call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all. How many of you woke up with a wet floor this morning? How are we coming on that? I went to Bethel during services, so I don't know.
Chuck just showed up.
Okay, good. Hopefully we'll get that taken care of for y'all. I was here at the 9:30 Bible study to hear from Dr. Throckmorton, and I just want to say thank you. I could have listened to you for hours on end on what you had to say and the different things. How many of you enjoyed and can clap and appreciate what we learned from Dr. Throckmorton? Thank you very much. Some real fast announcements, then we'll pray, and then we'll get started. Tonight, the kids will be sharing with us. They have Bible verses and songs that they'll be sharing with us. Kylie had 48, almost 50 kids last night. Can you imagine 50 kids inside of that room? Wow. But they don't stay in the room. They do rotations, and they do arts and crafts, and they do different things. So I don't know how many are going to be here tonight, but I imagine this stage will be full of kids singing and worshiping and reciting the Word of God. And I think that's pretty amazing. And then on Thursday, we'll hear from our youth. Thursday will be Youth Day, and so we'll hear what's going on with the youth group then. After service tonight, we will have popcorn up at the cafeteria, so make sure you go by and get you a handful of popcorn. Thank you, Bethel, for the popcorn machine. So that will give us time that we can fellowship up there at the cafeteria. Let's all stand, and we will open with prayer this morning. Father God, I thank you so much for yesterday's missionary day and how you were here and how we heard how you're moving across the world. I thank you for being a God that is personal. He knows my name. He knows your name. He's intimate in our everyday affairs, our everyday life, but he's also global and does it for everyone across the globe. Every soul across the globe, he knows by name. Help us to proclaim your hope and your truth to each of those souls. So, Father, today may the rest of this week be a foundation, a starting ground of where we go from here and advance your gospel wherever we go. We lift high your name this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Remain standing, if you would, to sing one of your favorite songs or two. All right? You doing okay? Well, are you abiding or sliding? Jay's back in the pulpit today. You better be ready. I'm trying to help you. All right, let's sing together. Number 85, if you need the book. It'll be on the screen, though, I think. All right, here we go. Blessed assurance.
In the clouds.
That's the abiding we're talking about in Him. Praise the Lord. Please be seated.
All right, let's get the ushers to come forward this morning for our offering. I'll have an update with our total tonight, and that will include our Sunday total to see how much Sunday put us getting closer to the budget to cover for this year's expenses. Everything okay? Okay. I thought you fell. I'm sorry. On Sunday, we had, Sunday night, this place was packed. We had 197 people in here on Sunday night. And so we were three shy from 200. I guess God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we're at 300. We were all here and we're all ready to go. It was great to see this place packed, right? It was nice. We are in the mid-80s with our youth shares as well, so we're getting close to going over the edge. So let's continue to give with those youth shares, and I'll have a better update with the offering tonight. Also, we are working on replacing these air conditioners back here, and that's going to end up being some cost. We're discussing how that might look if we're going to do one during one year and just how to work all that out. But there is some cost in that to keep this place cool. They've been working as hard as they can this week to keep it as cool as it is, and I appreciate how cool it is now. So that's another expense that we're looking out for. All right? Brother Jim, will you pray for the offering today?
Father, we thank you.
My dear Redeemer, Lord and King, my trust in Thee is everything. For Your blood and my belief brings assurance of lasting peace. My dear Redeemer, Lord and King, my faith in Thee is all I bring. For Your blood and my belief brings assurance of lasting faithful child I'll ever be, with thanks for grace that has made me free. When evening comes and before me shines like gold, with mountains scaled and battles won, eternity will have just begun. Oh, my faithful child I'll ever be. With thanks for grace that has made me free, with thanks for grace that has made me free.
Good morning. Good to see each one of you here today. And I would invite your attention, if you have a copy of God's Word, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I decided to do something I've never done before, and then I thought about you might like to see it. This is the Bible that I found in my room that I didn't even, in our reading room off from our bedroom, that I didn't even know was in there. And the front cover of it has Mallory's signature. And that was the only mark in the Bible that I found, and I'm marking in it every day now. But I want to read out there's a couple of verses that I want to share with you today. But this morning, I don't know if it was, it really happened when I was in here in the Bible study. I'd been asking, the Bible study hour, I was asking the Lord for today, and I'm gonna go a little bit different direction as we begin, And then I've told this, I guess it's going to be the biggest lie I tell. I told in the morning I was going to have a good time, we were going to laugh, and I was going to tell you a bunch of things. It seems like it's getting more serious every day. So what I want to do today is just get right into it if we can. Excuse me, all right? But I want to say something today. I've been places before when don't try to ask me because I won't tell you. But I've been places before when you preach revivals. And even some Sunday mornings, never at Bethel Church, never, ever. I don't want to get that close to home. But when you get up to preach and you feel like the place has not been prepared to hear God's word or even sense the presence. But I have appreciated from moment one when I met Brother Brian and his wife and his spirit, but also his abilities is just unbelievable. And we say things like, people have pipes. I don't know what that means exactly, Brian, but I've appreciated you. I truly have. And already, it just seems like it's the order of the week. It seems like every song, there's just something that applies to where we are, and I thank you for that. I do. And Miss Carol, too. She's a precious soul. And Suzanne and I have a common friend in Mississippi, and Miss Carol, she would be your twin. Now, there's a few years difference in y'all's ages, but you're about as crazy as she is, and crazy in my world is a compliment. I've been taken to task before because I said somebody was a card or they were crazy at a funeral, and somebody thought I was being negative. But in my world, when you're a card and you're crazy, that means you fit right in our world, all right? And what a treat it's been. It really has. All right, if I can get Miss Carol to turn the music down at night so I can sleep, we'll be all right. Just figured I'd tell a good old lie before we get started today. If you're able, will you stand with us and honor God's word? First Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. It says this, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." Brother Doug, that's that word again. Let all you do. Let all you do be done in love. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord. You know my heart. I sought you for this hour. I pray, God, that you use us. I pray for that one because I've been there and there's an opportunity to be there today. I pray for someone on the sound of my voice that allows someone to get between them and God. Lord, would you just unpackage your spirit in such a way for us to know that it's not worth it. And God, then for us to know that you did enough for us, that you not only redeem us, but you want to redeem them, and you may have already redeemed them. But God, would you do your work today, and we'd be careful to give you the praise, for we ask you to pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It was a long time ago. It's the way I'll start this. This is the added part, if you will. Something that happened that really was paramount. It framed much of my life when it comes to this subject of love. I was in Bible college. I went off to Bible college. I had the blessing of my family because my family was in disarray. I won't spend 10 minutes and tell you all the facets of that, but it was in a mess. And so over time, and it was unique, we went to Bible college out in Mississippi at our Bible college that was open at that time, and a lot of things going on in my life. But I remember God began to deal with me about a matter of love and hate in my life. One of the situations of my family that had gone on was there was an individual who had brought a lot of pain and heartache to my family, to the point that I didn't even realize it. I've always been a fun-loving person, seemed like give people a second, third, and fourth chance, and the ministry fits in that. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you my personality. I always like the lighter side of things, you know. Happens today, you know, bless God, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. We're going to have another shot at it. You know, it's always been my mindset. But I didn't even realize it through the weeks and months that I really began to harbor things that I used to say didn't like and really wasn't my favorite person. And I really had to come down to the facts that I just hated this person. And I thought because of my love for family, and you got involved, did stuff you shouldn't do, and I could show it to you in the Word of God, that I just thought it was okay. And God used this one situation really to frame much of my life even to this day. And it's brought me back to that. I've told this many times. Some of the church will remember these words, and I'll tell it in a few minutes, in just a couple of minutes, is that what occurred was that I came home for a break, and there was a revival going on, and I went to church. I say revival. It was just a normal weekend. Revival had already occurred. And when I came home for that weekend, and when I went to church that morning, God began to deal with my heart. I don't remember what my pastor preached on. I don't remember anything. I just remember that somewhere in there, just like he does here, is that God began to unlock my being. And I could hear God clearly in my heart convicting me in this love-hate thing, is that you're going to talk about the love of God, you're studying for the ministry, and yet you harbor ill will, and for lack of a better word, you just hate. And it got to the point that if somebody said something about this person, I'd walk away. I'd even tell people, you don't know what you're talking about, or whatever. And so what it came down to is, I haven't done much right in my life, but I ran from the Lord for a few months but when I was 17. But besides that, I'll tell you, there have been very few times in my life, and I'm not boasting, I'm just setting in context for you. There's been very few times that I've sat where you're sitting, if God has dealt with my heart about something, that I didn't deal with it. Now, I'll tell you, when I was running from the Lord, I didn't sit in a place like this. You follow me? Because I knew if I sat in a place like this, God's going to deal with me, and I wasn't ready to get it right. So what I'm saying is, in this setting, there's very few times. I've done it as a pastor when I was at Bethel. I've come down to the altar, and I can sense the enemy say, if you go down to that altar, all those folks, all those leaders of the church are going to think they got a lost pastor. But I've always said, I don't care. I've always said, I'll tell you, and I'll put it in context for you. If the God of the universe, who created everything from nothing, if he takes the time to speak to me about something, it must be pretty big. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Are you on board with me? Okay. So here we go. I'm at church, home for break. All my family's at church. And right there in that church service, just like we're sitting here, God began to deal with me. And this is what I can hear him say, and I've already alluded to it. You're going to preach about the love of God, and you hate somebody. Yeah, that's a nice resume getter right there. So when the invitation was given, I came down to the altar and I was weeping. I've always prayed vocally. I did it last night. I hope I wasn't too loud for Brother Doug standing right beside me. But I've always prayed, and I'll catch myself verbally. I like that singing. I sing too loud sometimes too. Is that I was praying at the altar, and God's peace came, and I knew he'd forgiven me. And I knew I was a changed person. I knew it's not worth it. And I've told that 1,000 times probably since then. It's not worth it. I'll tell you today, if you think somebody that you're going to stand in front of God and you're going to tell him, let me show you, Lord, what all they did to me and it was okay for me to harbor it, I'm going to tell you it's not worth it. And it's not biblical, by the way. Amen. The only thing that Jesus highlighted in the Lord's Prayer was forgiveness. Did you know that? The only highlight. He didn't talk about the majesty of God. He didn't talk about eternity. He didn't talk about anything else. The only thing he highlighted in the Lord's Prayer after he recited it to them, he said, if you do not forgive, you yourself cannot be forgiven. So I understood it, even in my 20s. So I came down to the altar, and the fun was just starting. When I said my amen and I went to get up, I didn't know how loud I'd preached. I mean, prayed. When I got up from the altar and I turned around, that individual was right behind me. True story. It's not a preacher story. And you ever remember, I think it's a spiritual literation of the angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. Because in that moment, you know, most time you get to work this stuff out the next week or two when it comes up. And you can pray about it and go in your prayer closet and say, God, help me, and find some more scripture and go on with it. But I had to deal with it right there, like 30 seconds after I just, and the reason I said about vocal prayers, I don't even know what I prayed. I don't know if this person heard me praying. I didn't know. And right there, I thought, okay, what am I going to do with it? When I saw this individual's face, tears running down their face. So I just did what you do. I hugged this individual, and this is what I heard in my ear. I'm so sorry for what I've done to your family. That was in 1988, folks. That individual is my Facebook friend today. That same individual has commented at least 10 times of how many times they prayed for what we've been having going on in our family. I coined something out of that because where God dealt with me, and I left it out on purpose, is this thing of same blood. God broke my heart that somehow we think in who we are, that the blood of Jesus Christ applies for me, but then it doesn't apply for everyone. See, God has shown me again and again and again. It's times it keeps me from saying things about people because you don't know where they've been. I've been guilty through the years in the ministry of thinking I know where somebody is in their life. And then they come to me in confidence and they tell me their story. And I come to the place to think if I went through what they went through, I'd probably be worse than they are. And God's shown me in his grace that we've got to understand that the same blood that came out of Jesus' body for the atonement and for redemption and for the pardon that you and I seek, it came out of his body for them too. Yes, people make terrible decisions. Yes, we see it. But how dare me stand in judge and jury when I haven't been where they've been? I'm just going to trust God to do what God wants to do. That sounds like enough sermon right there, doesn't it? Love. It's amazing. When I think about love, you know, especially the last few weeks, I've told the Lord when the subject of love has come up that I want to love better. I've analyzed every part of my being the last 2.5, 3 months on purpose. But I'm reminded that everything we are and everything that we hope to be is found within the framework of love. Love motivates us. Love is our means of existence. God is love. Love is our makeup. Love shows the realness of who we are. It shows us priorities in our life. Love shows relationships, you know. I always love to tell it that there's certain people in the world that can come in my house without a key. They don't have to knock. They can go in my refrigerator. It's amazing. Abby Kate is married. She's expecting. She's here now. Her and Zane got in last night. Or now it's the night before last now, isn't it? Whatever. But what happened is it's amazing to me that they come in my house, don't think anything about it. Abby Kate and Ryan live about a half a mile from my house. If they don't have an ingredient for something that Abby's cooking, then we are the Dollar General. And you know what? I want to say this. It's okay. You know why? Because she's my daughter and he's my son-in-law. It's okay. We're kin. Going somewhere with this. A lot of people today say, well, what about all this stuff in relationships? For God so loved the world. That's relationship. That he gave the very best he could be so that we could be redeemed. You think about it, everything is in love. If you want to have a good career, then you become a love person. We can all find fault, amen? Because we're fallen, because we have a sinful nature that we deal with every day. What about response and responsibilities? Well, it's a lot better when you've decided that I'm going to make a difference. Many of you in this room would be familiar with Jason Crabb. I've had him in concert a couple of times. But he has a powerful song that came out some time ago. I've listened to it about four times. That's another one of my bad things. Don't be around me when I get a song on my mind, because I'm gonna re-rack it about five times, okay? And I'll hear my family say, do we have to listen to it again? I probably listened to Love Is Stronger about three or four times today. That life is tough, the lyric says, but love is stronger. Some phenomenal lyrics of that. One of the greatest attributes of God is love. You think about it, and then that is passed to. If you have a Bible, you're making notes. I want to read this to you in if I can find it. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. I don't flip in Scripture because it takes me too long in sermons. I work a lot with a TV and multimedia, and so it's up there for people to see it. We do all that intentionally. But I do want to read this verse to you. In verse number 16 of 1 John chapter 4, it says, we have come to know and have believed. There's that word I told you about in this Bible that I've circled, the entire New Testament. The love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. I'll show you a visual. Some will remember we did this a little bit at the church when I was at Bethel. I'll show you a visual in a few minutes about the cross. I don't know what happens in our Christian faith, and I've been guilty of it, that we think we can have a relationship with God and everything can be wonderful, and then we can have harm and issue with others. Somehow we think we can have this pure relationship with God, and it can be wonderful, and it can be holy. And then I just got a litmus test for you. Is there a person in your life that I could mention their name and it would cause you an emotional difference? All of a sudden, you know, you might feel your molars start grinding on each other. Your temperature go up a little bit. You want to walk away from that. You want to think about something because I don't want to think about that person. I'm not going to say it's 100%, but I'd say I'd be pretty close to it. If that's the case, I'd say there's work to be done. Doesn't mean you have to have them over for lunch, but you need to be reminded that the same blood that Jesus shed for you and for me, he shed for them as well. Let me tell you one of the convictions that came out of my heart with this. Back to the same blood story, I left it out, didn't mean to. Is that God showed me, if you don't get it right, then you just don't have a problem with that person. Now you have a problem with me. Because you're not going to be able to minister people if you begin to put people in a box. If they meet all the criteria of what you think they should be and how they should be and how they should act and how they have treated you, if they meet all the criteria, then you could minister to them. The list and it's going to be pretty small. The box is going to be pretty small as well. See, God showed me. Very heavy conviction. Said, wait now, you don't still have a problem with this person anymore, but I brought you to the place. If you don't resolve it with me, now you have a problem with me. Now, that's just Jay. Please don't be offended. But it was very harsh. And God's brought me back to that again and again and again. Let me share you with some things about loving better, okay? First thing, we need to be reminded, it's the high road. Some would remember one of my famous sayings, original with me. Did you know that dead fish swim downstream? Stick with me now. A dead, bloated carp in the creek is going to go wherever the water goes. Dead fish swim downstream. It takes no effort whatsoever. Do you listen, your Christian experience. I'm saying this for Jay. It takes no effort to be like everybody else. None. It's just it. But somebody decides, wait a second, I'm going to live in this forgiveness from God, and I'm going to offer this forgiveness to others, and I'm going to allow people to see me as a love agent in my life. Listen, you're going to have to pick the high road. The low road in love is easy. Every day something's going to happen that you can harbor it. Oh, listen, Jesus, you remember, took it up. The best description of it is found in Luke chapter 6, verse 32, where it said, if you love those that love you, what good have you done? You know, then he went on to say this, even sinners love those who love them. But if you want to be somebody, for me, you got to love folks that don't love you. You got to be kind. You got to go the extra mile. And someone said, I ain't going. Well, that might be camp meeting for you. I really believe it. Because I can tell you how many times God's brought me back to it. People talk about me being real and those kind of things. It comes out of healthiness. I haven't come this week to tell you that everything's rosy in our life. It's just the counter of that. There's plenty of time right now, just the way some of you are looking at me, not all of you. I'd like to go back to my room and let's start over again. Because in my flesh, I can think, we don't want to hear that. You don't know who I work with. You don't know who I live with. You don't know who I live near. I can chase rabbits, and I don't have long to do that. But I can tell you a story of a lady that I met a couple of years ago. She's our neighbor. Her name's Betty. First time I met Betty, I hope she doesn't listen to the sermon. I hope she doesn't go on the website and listen to this. First time I met her, I thought, this lady's not nice. She didn't really smile much. She had lost her husband a few years ago. She was a widow. And so I thought, that was just first impression. And I needed some information about somebody there that lived near us. And she gave me the information. We sat for a few minutes. And I told her I was a pastor and lived right at the road. She knew all about my house that we bought and all that. And so we just left it there. A year later now, I've still got the same pretense. I get a message that Miss Betty wants to see me. And I just thought my lab probably gotten in her trash. I mean, I went through all of it. There was no tell. I thought, this is just not going to be good. She wants to talk to me. And so I played it in my mind. You know how you do that? Maybe I'm the only one that does that. You play it in your mind. You're all worked up and it hasn't happened yet. I mean, you've already got it figured out. You've already got what they're going to say. You already got your penance. You've already got what you're going to do. And all of a sudden, I meet her and I said, Miss Betty, what is it? She said, well, you told me you were on TV when we met. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I've been watching you on TV. I said, really? I mean, it was 180 from what I thought. She said, I just want to tell you something. I've settled it with the Lord right here, watching you on TV. And she said, I want to ask you to do something for me. And I said, what is it, Miss Betty? She said, I want to be baptized. Just so happened that next Sunday, Wayne, we were doing baptisms. But I told her, I said, she has one son. And she said, and I said, that's really quick. Something like it was a Thursday. This is Thursday to Sunday. And she said, I don't know. And I said, I really think he was a believer. He wanted to be there, all that. So what happened was we left our baptistry. We actually have a portable baptistry. The way this all works out, it looks good when we put it up. We left it up. And the next Thursday morning, if I remember right, it might have been a Wednesday, Miss Betty, at 9 o'clock in the morning, I had the privilege to baptize her. And now she's become a dear friend. Kobe, she did a banana pudding for me that would feed half this place right here. And that's the reason I fell off the wagon. I'm trying to crawl back on the wagon now. Love covers how many sins? Multitude. Love is the high road. Harboring is the low road. I'm just going to talk from personal experience. If you think you can justify it by talking to the Lord about it, it's not going to turn out well for you. Not only is it the high road, but then I told you I was going to do a word picture, and some of you would remember this. It's also the horizontal of the cross. Did you know, and this is our mission at our church, it's biblically based. Did you know there are three crosses found in the Word of God? You're going to like this. Something he's done fell off the wagon or fell off the melon truck or something. There are. The first cross is the cross that Jesus died on. It's where you and I receive salvation and pardon. His cross that he died on. They didn't lay him down. He freely laid down, opened not his mouth. He laid down his life for you and me. He paid the price so that you and I would have the hope of redemption. He didn't die that we would be saved. He did that we might be saved because it's our choice, Brother Doug. We've heard a lot about that this week. Encampment. So that's Jesus' cross. That's the first cross. If you're going to be saved, you got to get to that cross. But you know there's two more. We talk about holiness under the Lord. Here's your holiness. You ready? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So that second cross is the cross now. The first cross is the cross that Jesus died on. And the second cross, after I've been to that cross, is the cross that I died on. I died on. Did you know there's another cross? Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone would come after me, anyone will be saved. Anyone would go to that first cross, let him deny himself. Sounds like holiness to me. Sounds like that second cross. And pick up his cross of service and follow me. Every one of us are gifted with gifts and abilities that God gave us. The writer said it this way, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They're without repentance. God knows what he's doing when he called every one of us. But listen to me, we got a cross. We have a cross that we carry. And so in this thing, we need to understand, I am fascinated. I have written, I wrote a lot of stuff, not to impress, probably sometimes I did, but a lot of it is ministered to my heart. Did you know, literally, to have a cross, you have to have two pieces of wood. To have the symbol of the cross, you have to have two pieces of wood. The first one is what I alluded to a while ago, is the vertical. You cannot have a cross in your life if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have religions out there that are trying to carry their cross and do their work, and they don't know Christ. They're not a believer. It's ridiculous. Hell's going to be brimming of people that did many wonderful works, to which Jesus will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why? Because I never knew you. You've never been to the cross. Miss Betty's been to the cross. And boy, she's serving. Can't wait till my next banana pudding. Not only is there a vertical, it represents our relationship with the Lord, but watch this, there's the horizontal. Let me tell you something about the cross. The horizontal plank is what makes it doable. I don't want to take away from the vertical. The scripture says things like this. John wrote it. We know that we pass from death unto life, that we have a vertical relationship with God because we love who? We love the brethren. See what happens? You don't have a cross in your life if you're just loving God, but somebody can mention somebody's name and we go contorted on them. And then we start that, you don't know, you don't know. Let me tell you something. And I know I'm dealing with somebody here today because I know God's spirit. I know somebody, click, you just did like the old-fashioned TV. Or we've already had a comment about using the remote. Your remote's batteries are dead. You just turn me off. Let me tell you something. If you want to have the best camp meeting experience with the Lord that you've ever had, if there's somebody that the enemy always drags up in front of you, let me tell you what a great thing. Lunch will be better. Your life will be better because I've lived there. You bring that person to the altar and leave them there. And the next time you pick them up, you put them back at the altar. I'll tell you what will happen over time, and I've seen it happen. I remember when the enemy used to hang out in my life with unforgiveness in people's lives. But when I start giving them to the Lord and I plead that same blood over them over and over and over, you know what I found out? He'll go somewhere else. When he knows there's not going to be any product anymore to his time, he's going to do something else. And I've seen that release that comes. And I'm sure I'll have to face it some more. Hopefully not from you from this camp meeting, all right? If you didn't get that, just let it go. But you got the horizontal piece. The last one, I think about this. We have no hope if we don't have the hope of the cross. My hope when it comes to loving better is this. I have a fear that I walk right by somebody that God had ordained for me to minister to. That's one of those innate fears. It's not one of those things that bog me down, but I think about it, that I would love better in such a way that my hope is that I won't be so busy with the earthly stuff and God's that casualness that I've been dealing with. That's what God's been hanging, where he's been hanging out in my life, is that the hope is that one person, that Jay wouldn't get in the way. You might have seen, and I'm not a bracelet wearer. I didn't wear a watch until I was in my mid-20s. But we have a bracelet at church. We have like, I don't know, 6 or 8 colors of it now. It simply says, paying it forward. I remember thinking, oh, we've done that for 3 or 4 years. We probably need another motto. And I'm going to challenge myself to find me a better motto than paying it forward. There's not one. You know why every day as a believer that we should pay it forward in someone else's life? Because we can't pay God back. You can't pay him back. The best you can do in honor of your relationship with the Lord, my hope is that I will give him away to someone else. Brother Jay, do you always succeed? No, I'm sure I've missed it this week. I've told you, we're going through enough in the situation losing my youngest child. I know where she is, by the way, losing her earthly life. That there's a lot of me that I don't want to sit around in the cafeteria. I did it after Bible study. I could have stayed in here for 30 minutes. And I just thought, no, I'm going to go back and listen to some music. I'm going to go back to listen to Love is Stronger one more time. And I listened to Abide before the service starts. So I'm not saying it's a perfect science, but I do think that as a believer, our hope should be that we shouldn't bruise one. And God help us not to lose one. I think there are times that people fight where they work, and I wonder in the sovereignty of God, does God has not put us right where God wants us so that we can shine in the darkness? I wonder sometimes that house that came open and God allowed you to buy it, and there's been this problem and that problem, maybe there's someone right down the road in your neighborhood that has no clue of Jesus Christ, that Jesus wants to be seen in your life. The hope. Think about it. Same blood applies to them too. So if it's a negative or neutral, it still applies. Here's where I want to end. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 7. It's the story of a man by the name of Stephen. I can remember, I don't even think I was in full-time ministry when this story first just messed up my life royally. The story goes like this. that the New Testament church was so busy that the pastors, and God's been dealing with me about this, Jay, I want more time with you in prayer. I want more time in the Word. I don't want you just to drive through the window, a drive-through window with me every day. I want quality time. And God, Jay raised up other people to do, and we have that, and we'll do more. But God has gifted every one of us for the cause in the kingdom, and every one of us fit in the church. I haven't preached much about the church, probably won't, unless God leads. But this is what I know. The New Testament church was so much was going on that the pastors were crying out that we do not have time to give ourselves to the prayer, to prayer and to the Word. And so out of that it came, raise up men, go out and get men. It's, the qualifications are unbelievable. So that they could do the everyday workings, administrations of the church. And so that's what they did. One of the men they got was a man by the name of Stephen. The story goes that when he was doing what he was doing, there was opportunity to profess Christ and stand for God. Because of that, people didn't like it. To the point that it was just very accusatory. I mean, it was conflict. It wasn't just like this. It wasn't standing for Christ in the middle of the tabernacle on the campground. It was very volatile. And I want to read the words to you here. Found in verse number 54 to verse number 60. This is what it says. Now, when they heard this, Stephen was speaking to them. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and began gnashing their teeth at him. After being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, "Behold, I see heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Listen, I don't want to add to, but I'm going to put it for this sermon. Sounds like the vertical to me. What about you? Got all this stuff going on around him. Straight up. All right? It continues. But they cried out with a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. I'll come back to that in a minute. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." The last verse. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Looks like the horizontal to me. Having said this, he fell asleep. I think sometimes we're guilty of the Word of God. We read stories, and so they got more than I got. No, God doesn't expect that out of us. He doesn't. I could tell you a story. If I mentioned a name, 75% of the people in this room would remember the story. A man that was told he wouldn't have but hours or days to live. I went 7 straight days to the Macon Medical Center to see him. It wasn't out of this badge of, "Hey, look, I'm a pastor." It was something happened every day. They would call me. It didn't look like he was going to make it. Whatever. 7 straight days before he passed. I saw a man lay on a bed all the way face back, sedated, was on the vent, but yet was still conscious. I saw him person after person in his life that would come in the room, and he couldn't speak. He would take a pen and paper and he would write on that thing. I saw it at least a dozen times where he would scribble out the words, "Please forgive me." I saw two wives, ex-wives, come in the room. He asked them to forgive him. I saw people he worked with and people he worked for. Later on, I found out that he treated badly, or they had treated him badly, he felt. I saw him get right with it. I saw a brother that was in the room for much of the time with me. I saw him scribble out, "Please forgive me." And listen, it was just like a story right here. It was like when you got to the end of everyone that he needed to get right with, he left this world. He didn't leave without writing me a note. He didn't need my forgiveness. He wrote a note, and I finally made it out. He nodded his head. That's what he was saying. "I didn't know I was going to do this, so maybe this is of the Lord, maybe it's of Jay, but you receive it, okay?" But this is what he said. He wrote out, "Can you save me again?" I called him by name and I said, "Walter, I didn't save you the first time. Jesus did. But I said, we can pray. If there's something between you and God, and you need to get it right. We can sure pray. I said, you want to do that? And he nodded his head. And so I'm praying. I can hear him mumbling. And when I got through praying, I said, well, Walter, did that do it? And he went, it did it. And listen, folks, people say, oh, Brother Jay, you're just making a preacher story happen. No, this is how it happened. I think it was the next day he passed away. It's real. Somehow in our humanity, we think we can hold on to something because somebody did it to us. I just want to remind you, it's been stated just about by every leader in here that's had this platform. God did more on the cross than that. I'm going to preach on heaven before we go here because I got a daughter and a brother and a mom and dad. Brother Doug's dad. I'm going to preach on heaven probably Friday. So don't you mess that up, Brother Doug. Don't you steal my thunder. Because I'm going to have a hallelujah fit. I'm going to run around. I might have to tie a string to myself, keep from floating around. Looking forward to it. But let me tell you something, folks. I'm almost done. You get ready, Brian. I'm ready. Let me tell you something. And I don't want this going to sound strong. Don't make grace greasy now. I'm not talking about a greasy grace. God has a standard. How can you love me? The writer alluded to whom you haven't seen. If you don't love your brother whom you have. We don't want to hear it. And I don't want you to tell me about it. I got enough. But I'd like for us to tell God about it. How deep God's been plowing in my life. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I didn't say they're not worth it. Don't misunderstand me. They're worth it. Because God puts a lot of value on them, a lot more than we think he does. I didn't say they're not worth it. I said the condition of my heart's not worth it. It's not. And I don't know who this applies to. I know the way God speaks in my life. And I know what's even happened today as I sat on the side of the bed in a chair in the break room even and said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about today? You know what God wants to do in my life? He wants me to love better. I think John Maxwell would get the credit for it, Brother Doug, that he said we need to walk slowly through the crowd. I'm guilty sometimes. I'm at point A and I got to go to point B, but what if our ministry is between those two points? If we don't have the eyes of Christ, the mind of Christ, and the heart of Christ, and sensitive to the Spirit of God leading us, we might miss the very thing that God wants us to do that day. All I'm saying is if there's a breach, if right now the horizontal has issues, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and kneel before the cross. And God, I want both parts of the wood. I want a vertical with you. But God, I want a horizontal too. Same blood. They might end up being your Facebook friend. How about that one? God might do such a work that you go, it's amazing that I don't get indigestion when their name comes up. What they did was wrong? Probably. But you know, it's not the condition of them. It's not. It's the condition of me. And I've been transparent with you now. This is not a preacher up here slinging at you. This is where I live every day. Okay? What am I going to do? Am I just going to try a feeble attempt of living the vertical and not affect the horizontal? And listen, there's religions out there that try to do all the horizontal stuff and don't have a vertical relationship with God. And they think one day they're going to stand in front of God and God's going to say, come on, that's good. No, no, no. They both go together. So vertical, horizontal. Makes the perfect cross in our life. It does. All right. And I'm just going to let you stay right where you are. But I'll tell you this. If God has arrested your soul, your spirit, the way mine has been in this matter, I just believe in the freedom of this day you would want to deal with it. I'm going to invite you just for that freedom, okay? Brother Brian.
Jesus, keep me near. Stream flow.
I get somebody to come to pray? Just agree with them. You don't have to get in their business. Just pray. The altar's yours. Go ahead, Brian.
Near the cross, a trembling soul.
I thank you today that your word is very clear. The visual of the cross is very clear. To have a cross in our life, we have to have two planks of wood. I believe it very much represents our relationship with you and our relationship with one another. And one another is seen in the word of God, yes, from the church. Every time the word brethren is used, and brothers and sisters, as well as to the world out there. The New Testament church, it says they had favor with all the people. I believe it was because they had a horizontal as well as a vertical in their life. Lord, I thank you, God, that you've called every one of us to love better. Help me to love better at home. Help me, God, to respond better. Help me to, Lord, just realize that it's not about me. To operate, God, in a being that brings glory and honor to you. Lord, I pray for peace today. For what's been prayed over at this altar and in this room today. Lord, everyone thinks that everybody knows, and we really don't. Really, what hurts way down deep. And often as that can be pinned, Lord, in the arena of love or lack of in our life. So God, I pray for freedom. I pray for peace. I pray for substance today. I pray for same blood. Wherever we need to put it, we will. Whatever category it needs, but most of all, God, that it would bring glory and honor to you. And God, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you do. For we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord. I got one thing today. Earlier, right before I was asked to come up, before Jimmy Stinson asked me if he could say something.
I say confession's good for the soul. I guess it is. It's not good for the nerves. I'll have to confess that I've always held a little bit against this camp meeting because it didn't support us. We've been missionaries for a while. I guess I've been in this camp meeting for probably over 70 years. I was saved right down there at that altar. And when Brother Jay's sermon, even though he did reinforce it today, yesterday as I was spraying briars, I guess I had a briar in my life, the Lord told me, you know, you've held that against the camp meeting for many years. You can get rid of it. First time I've ever thought about it. But you know, the Lord cleanses us when we need cleansing and when we listen to him. And I'm thankful for what he's done in my life. I didn't really need the support of the camp meeting. We had support all our life. Never lacked anything. Had everything we needed and probably plus more. because the good Lord has taken care of us. And I thank each and every one of you that have supported us, prayed for us. And thank you for this opportunity to get this off my chest, I guess.
That's, in my definition, that's camp meeting, I think. Just like I said, forgiveness, there's something to. I had one, I think it was Tim Elmore. I think I heard say it. I'll give him credit for it. If not, he'll enjoy the credit anyway. But I think he said forgiveness is the most powerful tool we have in our toolbox. He loves the word tool and toolbox. He does a lot of writing like that. It is. Forgiveness will liberate you more than anything else. You know, where's Monty? Monty, you can walk a marathon and it won't compete with forgiveness. I just want you to know that. Monty's been reminding me that I haven't been walking this week. He comes in sweaty to breakfast and it's convicting. But I'm not harboring it yet, Monty. Anyone else? All right, Miss Carol.
I won't forget several years ago when the Lord just really blasted my heart with, even though I've been loved the Lord since I was a really tiny child, he said, Carol, if you had what you deserve, it's hell. Do you understand that? If you had what you deserve, it is hell. And then he began to just show me about the high cost of unforgiveness. Is it a price you're willing to pay to not receive the forgiveness of the Father? It was like there was no way around it. When there's an offense, to be able to just say, Lord, you've loved me so much. If you could be on that cross and look down and say, Father, forgive them, right, for they know right, not what right. they do. That's me in the need of his forgiveness so desperately.
Yep.
That our brother has said, yep. I can't afford the price of unforgiveness.
Yep. I've always wondered, and we got to go eat. I'm telling you, if you've been eating here, I don't know if we need to eat or not. We'll take that to the Lord. I think we do enough. But anyway, I didn't get back to Paul, where the verse says that they threw the clothes at the one named Saul. I don't believe there's any verse that's just in there by coincidence. I believe it's inspired of God. And I've always wondered, did it take Stephen's stoning to prepare Paul for his experience? I've always wondered, because that verse is there, he saw everything that you heard me read today. I wonder, was it him crying out to the Lord, him saying he sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father? Or was it? I really believe, I tend to do the last part of it. I think what unlocked it, for my opinion, and I could be wrong, I've already been wrong today, I'm sure, but I think it was when he heard Stephen say, don't lay this to their sin, don't lay this to their account. When he saw forgiveness, when his cranium was being bashed in, then Paul was ready. If you go read the book of Acts, Brother Doug's been alluding to that a lot. If you go read the book of Acts about the church, right after that, is when Paul was converted. And I really believe within me, I think it took, as educated, as intellectual, and all of that that Paul was, he had it together in every facet of his life. As the way he was, it took someone like Stephen to get him there. Now, I'm going to start preaching again because Brother Wayne's coming, so I'll hush. Come on, Brother Wayne. If you come on, I'll hush. Let me tell you this. Can I be bold enough to say, do you have a Paul in your life? That the only way they're going to find Jesus is to see us forgive when everything says harbor it? That will preach. That'll live too. You understand what I'm talking about? I think it took Paul seeing Stephen for him to be ready for the light to shine from heaven for him, by the way, and his encounter with Christ. So, it's that unforgiveness. Miss Carol, I'm done.
I didn't know whether to get up or not. I think that's a topic that we wrestle with daily and need to confront daily. Something in my life just a few months ago I had to deal with that I thought I already dealt with. I wasn't at an altar, but I was at the Abbott Center. And I found freedom in places that I had no idea that this subject would even touch. It's a completely different outlook. It's free. It's freedom. Has anyone else experienced that? The freedom of forgiveness and the bondage of unforgiveness? All right, let's pray for lunch and head up that way. Father God, I thank you so much that you are the example of true forgiveness. And I know the people that hurt me, that insult and offend, Lord, I know I've done so much worse just myself. And how can I hold it against them when I've done worse myself? And I turn to you, the perfect forgiver, the restorer of relationships. And I'm just in awe at how you forgive us, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. And Lord, I don't understand your forgiveness. I don't understand it. I don't understand your unconditional love. But I sure thank you for it. Go with us from this place. And if there's any unforgiveness that is still in our hearts, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will convict us of that the rest of this week. And that we don't leave this place not finding that freedom. Father, I thank you for the meal we're about to partake of. Bless it to our bodies and our bodies to your service. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. See you tonight.